Good evening, little flock. It's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Marcia, how many years have I said that? Please read the article that I wrote that you should have in your hand. Was anybody missed? Raise your hand if you didn't get the article. Okay. Thank you. And if there's others, you're welcome to pick them up to have more than one. The message I'm going to preach tonight, I would call it allegorical. At least you must be very careful about taking it as the Word of God. But if you want to know about the rapture, then perhaps you'll read the article I just gave you. That would be the information concerning the rapture. However, we're asking the question tonight, is Enoch a picture of the rapture? And there's no verse you can go to that'll answer that. No verse. So why are you treading on that? Because you guys love me. I hope. I think it's very interesting. I think you will find much of what we will say tonight as being very interesting. Just be careful to remember I made a clear distinction between what I'm going to say tonight and what I wrote in the paper. That's why I copied those papers and passed them out so you would see the solid evidence for the rapture of the church. It's very, very obvious today that many, many do not believe in a rapture. And some come to the church, and that's just fine. There's no, nothing says you have to believe the rapture. But nothing says we can't preach on it either. So we'll do that. There are only three places in Scripture where we learn about Enoch. And we're going to talk mainly about Enoch tonight. Genesis chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 11, and Jude. In Genesis chapter 5, we find these words. We'll go back and forth on it some. And Enoch lived 65 years and fathered Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God 300 years after he fathered Methuselah. Do you understand what that's saying? He didn't walk with God the first 65 years of his life. Then, for the next 300 years of his life, he did. And he fathered sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch was 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. And then he was not, for God took him. The third place is found is in the book of Jude, verses 14 and 15. And Jude, the seventh from Adam, that's very significant, very important, the seventh from Adam, also prophesied. That tells you real quick that he is a prophet. We talked about prophets last week. And it will add importance to what we have to say tonight. Behold, the Lord came with myriads of his saints to do judgment against all and to all and to rebuke all the ungodly of them concerning their ungodly works, which they ungodly did, and concerning all the hard things ungodly sinners spoke against them. Four times. You get the message? In that time of Enoch, up till the flood, it was ruled by ungodly people. It was a sickening place. Well, let's pray. Father, we ask you to bless us and help us to deliver what we believe you've given us. And we ask, Father, that we can be understandable. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, my attempt will be to answer the question in our title, is Enoch a picture of the rapture? That's the main goal, but a lot of other things are going to come out. So we look first at Genesis chapter 5, verse 21 through 24. We'll pause a little bit as we read it again. And Enoch lived 65 years and fathered Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God 300 years after he fathered Methuselah. Did you catch all that? That's very, very significant. And he fathered sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and then he was not, for God took him. So he walked with God, number one, Enoch walked with God, number two, and lastly, God took him. That's the emphasis, it seems like, that wants to be put on it for Jude. So three times it says that Enoch was taken away. One time it says, and God is who took him. He didn't just wander away and can't get back. God took him. The word taken in the Hebrew can be translated transferred. We're used to that word. Transferred, God served to transfer him from here on earth to there in heaven. It was a transfer. Like so many say, he walked so with God for so long, he got so far away from home, it was closer to go to heaven than to go back to his home. Well, that's just a cute little saying. But that was God took him. And that means he was taken without dying. We often talk about people who've been taken, but we think by death. This was without dying. The first person to ever go to heaven without dying. It doesn't say he was lost and they found him, but God took him. I often pause there because I like the thought that goes with it in my mind. A search party. Can you see a search party going all over the area? The questions of all the people, when you were the last to see him, and all that goes on within a search party. That was so useless, wasn't it? God had taken him. But evidently, he hadn't told his kids that it must have happened like that, the snap of the finger. One time, he says, he walked with God. In Genesis, we read of this walk as well. In Hebrews, we read of his witness. In Jude, we read of his work. His walk, his witness, and his work. In Genesis, it indicates his walk with God was not easy. Remember that? Ungodly, ungodly, ungodly. The wicked on the earth was, wickedness on the earth was great at that time. The greatest ever. Far greater than now. You know, only eight survived during that wicked time. And yet that man had an illustration. This is a boat and it's going to float. And they mocked him and laughed at him. Noah. Everything was building up to that great wicked time. It was wicked. And it would get wickeder before the flood came. In Genesis 6, 5, and 6, it says, And Jehovah saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil, continually. And Jehovah repented that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. Can you imagine how he felt about his special darlings? They weren't very darling, were they? Likely, he walked alone, Enoch, with God. Nobody else there. Wasn't a time of godly people. But walking alone isn't bad if you like the conversation of the other. You have no idea how many hours my wife talks on the phone to her daughter. Daughters. Because she likes to talk what they're talking. She enjoys that. Looks forward to it. And I'm happy she does. It's great. Can two walk together except they be agreed, Amos says. So we can say from that verse that Enoch and God enjoyed the same conversation, enjoyed being together. He was a man in harmony with God. Well, I searched a little bit to try to find some ideas of what it means most specifically to walk with God. I'm not sure anybody knows, but I'll read you what Lupo told me, one of my favorite Old Testament commentaries. Says, we are thus driven to take the expression to walk with God figuratively, in the sense of an inner faith, one remains uninterruptibly conscious of the nearness of the Almighty God, and so walks as the thought of that presence determines. Now, if you walked, sat, if you are a person that are constantly, every moment of your life, realizing God's right with you all the time, that's what he's saying it means to walk with God. Unbroken. God's right here. He's with me all the time. I don't have to go into a certain room or do something special to talk to him. I just talk to him. You know, pray without ceasing. Where's he? You got to go where he's at. No, he's everywhere. Talk without ceasing. Anyway, now we should remember it said in our readings that he was 65 years old when he had Methuselah. And he was 65 years before he walked with God. Did you remember that when I read it? Evidently, the first 65 years of Enoch's life was ordinary. I would say the balance of it was very unordinary. To have someone have the Bible say, he walked with God. Wow. That's not ordinary. But before that, perhaps he was just the average Joe. Perhaps he was below average or above average. I don't know. But it's not important until you get to the fact that he was 65 years old and here come Methuselah. And at that very moment, Scripture says that he walked with God. And continually walked with God until God took him. That's another, 300 years? Mm-hmm. We know that by nature, he was born with a sin nature. We know those first 65 years were not necessarily trophies. He may not have even been saved. I think it's very possible that God saved him and called him to be a prophet at the same time. We see that other places too. Quite a few. Isaiah was that way and others. Methuselah was born and it seems to be a turning point in the life of his father. A big turning point. At that point, God spoke to him as a prophet. Otherwise, how would he know that he's a prophet? Here he told Enoch, perhaps he told Enoch a secret as his prophet. His secret about a coming day of judgment. I have reasons to suggest that, but take it for now and consider it. Here God perhaps promised that the judgment was coming, but Methuselah will not be alive when it happens. Now you remember, he was the oldest person that's ever lived on the planet Earth. And God's going to keep him alive way beyond everybody else. Perhaps that secret had to do with the wickedness. If he was a godly prophet, if he walked with God, he too felt the wickedness around him, all around him, every place he went. People were stealing, people were lying, people were immoral, people on this earth, it stunk. And he had trouble living in there, in this world. And so he went to God. God, when are you going to take care of this? When is this world going to be straightened up? And finally he answered him. And when he answered him was when Methuselah was born. He gave Enoch perhaps a secret here about the coming judgment, and promised that Methuselah would not have to go through the terrible time of the flood. Now, did you hear perhaps and a lot of things that you're not to count on? Just, I thought you would enjoy what I'm putting together and think about it. Remember, keep in your mind, after Methuselah was born, Enoch walked with God. That's quoting scripture. Yeah, Enoch walked with God. I think he was born again at that time. I think he was reconciled and forgiven. And that all was a part of the change that took place in Enoch. To qualify him, shall we say, to the great future he had of being in it, walking with God and being taken alive to heaven. Now we're going to move from the Genesis 1 that talks about Enoch to the Hebrews passage, Hebrews 11, 5 through 6. By faith, Enoch was translated so as not to see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Wouldn't you love to have that testimony? But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What pleased God about from Enoch? His faith. His faith pleased God, and it'll please God when we show our undivided faith to God too. So now, at this time in life, where he begins to walk with God. His reconciliation came by faith. Not by keeping the Ten Commandments, by faith. They didn't have them written down yet. By faith. Faith in God's is a gift from God. But that gift comes through believing the message of God. Abel is a good example of this, and Cain. Abel offered his offering by faith. Cain offered his offering by personal selection. And he was rejected. Both knew the law of offerings. And their offering had to be a blood offering. Nevertheless, Cain knew better, he thought. Only Abel offered to God in faith. You say, how do you know it was in faith? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's what faith is. He heard what God wanted as an offering, and he made that offering. And God was pleased, well pleased with him. Believing God is the fruit of our faith. When we respond to God in faith, he's pleased with us, and we should know it. And we don't respond in faith, or we kind of chafe at what God wants from us. That's a serious problem. That's a Cain problem. Taking God at his word pleases God. Obedience to God shows we love God. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, listen to that. You can teach your children. There's not everything as well-pleasing to God, but obedience is. So every time you obey me, just think, I just please God. Just think, every time you obey your parents, children, think, I just please God. Because it's well-pleasing with God when we do that. Another passage similar to it, but do not forget to do good and to share, for such sacrifices God is well-pleased. There's that well-pleased again. Who of us doesn't want to have a God that's well pleased with us? You know, that's just so important. And so we need to do good and share and not be stingy. I'm kind of stingy sometimes. My wife could tell you all about it, you know. But need to be be givers and lovers and well pleasing to God. That's how we please God. It's well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, in whom his glory forever. Amen. Enoch is now living and walking with God by faith. See the tie-up. 65 years he did not do that. 300 years he did. And then the Lord took him. By faith, Enoch was taken away. I'll repeat, faith is something God said to Enoch. He put faith in something and was well-pleasing to God. Whatever God said to him, it caused him to walk with God. It all happened, boom, boom, boom. What could God have told Enoch that changed his life so completely? And that, right at the birth of his son, Melchizedek. Not Melchizedek, Methuselah. Someone say it to me. Methuselah. Right at the birth of Methuselah. What could have changed him so drastically? Perhaps, again I say perhaps, Enoch was given a secret that was received in faith. Perhaps the secret caused him to name his firstborn Methuselah. Now, that's interesting. What were we going to get out of that? There's a little difficulty in what the name means. One man that I read after says, when he is gone, then it will come. So what would that say? Well, they would say, when he is gone, meaning Methuselah dies, then the flood will come. Because remember, God had, suggested that maybe God promised there was coming judgment. The judgment was coming, but it would not affect Methuselah. He would be gone. So I suggest to you that God may indeed have given his prophet Enoch revelation about the coming flood. And he named his son Methuselah because of that. Another man, the man I read earlier, Leupold, he says that the word Methuselah means man of the weapon or man of the spear. Well, that's really simple to me if I want to make something out of it, and I do. You take a javelin and you toss it. So it just almost has wings that fly so far, but finally it sticks. And that's kind of like this long-range event called the flood. It almost seemed like it was going to go a long ways before it came, but it did eventually come. And a spear, not for sport, but for judgment. The judgment of the wicked, ungodly world, which seems to be part of the conversation that's going on in here about how, when are we going to get rid of this ungodly world we live in? Someone's got to do something about it. It's kind of like we in America talk about our country sometimes. So God may have given Enoch the revelation of the coming judgment of sin, namely the flood. God may have said it will come after Methuselah died. Do you see that baby, Methuselah? The world will last as long as he lives. God points to Methuselah. And no longer. No wonder Enoch walked with God. No wonder his life changed right after he perhaps was told that. God actually did give Enoch in the Jude passage a clear prophecy about the coming judgment. We'll read it in a minute and put a little bit of some of these what ifs to bed. Jude 14 and 15, the final place. Listen carefully. A lot here from Jude. And Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Interesting there that seventh from Adam is again. Also prophesied. You see, he's a prophet. To these saints. Behold, the Lord comes with myriads of his saints to do judgment against all and to rebuke all the ungodly of them. Clearly, he's given a prophecy as a prophet. So he knew God had revealed to him that there was the coming the judgment was coming upon the ungodly world that Enoch was living in. To rebuke all the ungodly of them concerning all their ungodly works, which they ungodly did, and concerning all the hard things ungodly sinners spoke against him. So God may have revealed to Enoch the coming judgment of the flood. I believe he did. As a picture of the future judgment of the tribulation. I can see a dual meaning for both, the point to both. God likely told Enoch that he would be caught up before the flood judgment. Does that sound like the rapture? He probably asked, what about my son? He was a loving father. He was concerned for his son. And he was told he would die just before the flood. Just before the flood would come. I'm saying, what if that happened? Therefore, he was named Methuselah. Or when he is gone, then it shall come. Or the man of the spear. Don't you enjoy the messages that come straight from verse by verse by verse? I know what's going through someone like Marcia's head. She's saying, this is too much supposition. Yeah, it is. It is. I thought you'd enjoy it, but I gave you the paper to read about the rapture. Suppose that God had revealed for you, to you, that this world would last as long as your firstborn lived. Can you imagine what effect that would have on your walk? Can we pause long enough to think about that a minute? How would that affect your walk? You would never be the same, I don't think. And it's possible that God did reveal that to Enoch. Then we ask the question, why did Methuselah live so long? The world was sin sick a long time, folks. A long time. The cup of God of iniquity was full and overflowing past the due date. God extended the day of grace to the limit. In extending the day of grace, he also extended the life of Methuselah. Because God brought the flood right after Methuselah died the same year. So God extended the days of grace 120 years. Genesis 6:3, and Jehovah said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. In his erring he is flesh, yet his days shall be numbered and 120 years. His days shall be 120 years. So God added 120 years to the life of Methuselah because he wasn't supposed to die until just before the flood. That was a promise he had made with Enoch. Perhaps God told Enoch when Methuselah was born that the world would last as long as Methuselah lived. Do the math. He did. He died, and the flood came. The flood came the same year as his death, when he was 969 years old. Do you ever think that he was a contemporary of Noah? They lived at the same time. He saw the ark being built and remembered what his father had told him about it all. He was actually, likely, a great encouragement to Noah in the building of the ark. And a great encouragement and a great time of discouragement. How difficult it would have been. He was mocked and called crazy. God in mercy extended Methuselah's life and thus postponed the flood. So it shall be again. Shall be again concerning the last days. Although judgment can come when the time is right, still God in his mercy has promised to extend mercy. Thus Methuselah becomes a picture of how he is dealing with the church and pending judgment to the church, to the world. When the church is taken and does not see death, then judgment will come. But not before. Did you know to remember that God said that Enoch was the seventh from Adam? What difference does it make whether he's second, third, fourth, or fifth, or sixth, or seventh? Six generations had died. They all died. Suddenly, we have a seventh. And he did not die. He was raptured. Put it together. We could turn to Genesis 5, but it's not very interesting reading. Every sentence, ends with, and he died, and he died. The whole chapter, and he died, and he died, and he died. I wonder why God made such a big thing out of the death of that generation. Six generations before him all died. Suddenly we have a seventh, and he did not die but was raptured. Then Enoch walked with God, and God took him. God deals, I'm getting off on another rabbit chase. I hope you enjoy it. God deals in cycles of seven. You've often thought that, haven't you? I think he does. Creation is in a cycle of seven. Six, work, one, rest. And that's true for God. It's true for man. The history of mankind is 7 days of 1,000 years each. Peter says that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. The point is, if there was 4,000, get this if you can, if there was 4,000 years in the Old Testament and 1,000 years in the millennium yet to come, to make it one in seven, we need 2,000 more years. So if you count the Old Testament time and you count the millennium, then you still need 2,000 years to make the cycle seven. And that obviously is filled by the church. But it may be over that by 10 or 20 years. Could that be the mercy period he is giving? Giving us mercy again? Extended out for another one to be saved? Or learn how to walk with God like Enoch? Enoch was taken by God after six generations all died. Will the church be taken after the 2,000 years plus some grace? If that is true, I hope you are ready to meet him in the air, because that time is very close. No doubt you are confused. Where am I coming from? Here's where I'm coming from. I think it is very much like God to paint a picture for us, especially of the major events in the Bible. I think he did this with the birth of Methuselah and the rapture of Enoch. If I'm right, then we are living in a grace period now. As he gave 120 years of grace to Methuselah, that old time, the days of Noah, he may be well granting a grace period for us. Wouldn't it be a nice thing if you said, I don't know about all that. I hope you say that. I'm not trying to talk you into any of that. But the things on the paper that point you right to the scriptures, and handle, you gotta hang on to that. Because, folks, if the rapture of the church comes before the consummation of time, when Christ was set up the millennial, then it could be closer than that. It could be 7 years away, or I'm digging in a place I shouldn't dig. I don't know how soon the Lord will come. But he'll come, and he'll come right on schedule, and it won't differ from what the Bible teaches. I don't know whether Enoch is a picture of the rapture. I think he is. I think he is. And I know some of you think he is. But whether he is or not, I know enough to walk with God. I know enough to not cop out of what pleases God, to live a life well-pleasing to God. Those things that we check off along the way that we learn best pleases God, and that pleases God, and something else pleases God. And so we learn to practice walk with God with those things each time, pleasing the Lord. So very important. So what it's all about. But you don't have to buy this. I hope you won't say all that, Pastor Heinrich, full of it. I probably am. But I do love looking into things like that, because I do believe from my heart that it's much like God to paint a picture like that and make it enjoyable for us to talk about it. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the opportunity to share it. Thank you for the day that is set for the coming of the Lord. And we believe the rapture precedes it by 7 years. We ask God that you would just open our hearts to all that. As this world gets more ungodly and ungodly, as that continues to build up, and it's more difficult to walk here for our children than it was for us, we'd ask God you'd be gracious, and we would be patient with you. In Jesus' name, amen.